Welcome to the 2024 season of the Player's Voice podcast, brought to you by the Gaelic Players Association in collaboration with Real Talks. My name is Alan O'Mara. I'm the founder of Real Talks and a mental performance coach with elite sports teams. I've played for Cavan, managed New York, and I'm very proud to be the host of the Player's Voice podcast for the third consecutive year. If you are a returning listener, welcome back to the Player's Voice. We're excited to share more entertaining and empowering conversations with you. If it's your first time and you like what you hear, you can listen to previous episodes with the likes of Niall Morgan, Lauren McGee, Chloe Morey, or Neil McManus by searching The Player's Voice on whatever podcast platform you prefer. The GPA is the representative body for high-performance intercounty players. Founded by players back in 1999 and strengthened by a merger with the Women's Gaelic Players Association in 2020, the GPA supports over 4,000 current male and female intercounty players, as well as a growing number of former players, across four core pillars: player representation, player welfare, player development, and equality. You can learn more about their work at GaelicPlayers.com. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy this episode of The Player's Voice. Grace Clifford, Kildare Ladies Gaelic footballer, and much, much more, as we're going to find out over the course of this conversation. You're very welcome to The Player's Voice. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Alan, for having me.
I appreciate it. I know you've ran home from school pretty quickly to get back here and talk to me, so I appreciate you taking the time and very much looking forward to having the conversation with you. I was going to start, Grace, just in terms of starting on the pitch in football. I think over the last couple of years, it's been a roller coaster for Kildare, but on the pitch, I think in particular, you know, there's been back-to-back promotions in the National League. You've just cemented your return to Division One, I believe, and now you're back in a Leinster Senior Championship campaign and looking forward to All-Ireland Senior Championship campaign. So I suppose, how important has it been for Kildare jumping straight back in now to play Senior Championship football and also securing that Division One status?
Look, it's been huge. You know, I started my career, I think it was 14 years ago now, with the senior team. And I always say I was part of the decline, and now it's been nice to kind of be part of the bit of incline again. You know, Kildare has a big passion about football, whether it's women's or men's. We pride ourselves on that, being a football county, and getting back up to the top level was really, really important for us. There's been a lot of focus in Kildare on our underage structures and systems and stuff like that as well. You know, there's no denying people talk about the Dublin population, but certainly Kildare is one of those surrounding counties that's benefited from that as well. And, you know, it's been really pushed in the county. So it was really important for us to, as a senior team, I suppose, nearly the kind of the leading team in the county, to try to get back up to the top grade and lead by example, I suppose, and drive it on. So that was really, it's been really, you know, a whirlwind, I suppose, of 18 months for us. We've really struggled to get out of Division 3. You know, we were knocking on the door there for a couple of years, getting to like league finals and whatnot. And eventually last year got over the line against Clare in a really tough battle. And then this year, to be quite honest with you, we were going into Division 2 just with the mindset of, let's just take each game as it comes. We don't know where we're at in, you know, level to some of these teams. And we kind of hit a little bit of momentum. And before we knew it, we'd a couple of wins under our belt. And next thing, we were in already a position that we were already promoted with a couple of games left. So it was just, look, it's been unbelievable. The support in Kildare, the way the game has been promoted has been incredible. And it makes such a difference. And I just feel I've experienced both sides of the coin, where it's been maybe quieter for a couple of years there.
Yeah.
But having people behind you and knowing kind of, oh, even going into a local shop and they're saying, best luck tomorrow, it's kind of going, that's lovely, you know. And it kind of makes it all that bit more special, I suppose. You know, you're doing it for people around you, not just yourself.
Yeah, I totally understand that. And I think obviously, like, from your own like experience and your own journey, like, you probably have that enhanced perspective on it in terms of, as you said, kind of the decline or the kind of the slide downwards, but then also the regrouping, the refocusing and beginning that journey again, you know. And I mean, even as you talk there, like, say you go back to 2016, Grace Clifford, in terms of what that experience was like and where you were at mentally, like, is the game now, like, even like, I suppose, your experience as an intercounty footballer, like, is the game closer to maybe what Grace Clifford in 2016 would have hoped for it to become or to be at this point? Like, or do you know what I'm trying to say? Like, how would you think that, like,
yeah,
you 8 years ago would have kind of viewed in terms of where things are at right now?
I would have to say it's more you know, and that's not, and I'm not saying that I'd settle for how things are now. I still think there's a long, long way to go, you know, in getting kind of, I suppose, the buzzword equality, you know, and having kind of things on par. I'm a firm believer. I don't like, you know, I don't like comparing too much to the men's game either, because, and I never did, because like I love the men's game and I listen to all the GA podcasts and I love that. I'm very much one of those people that I acknowledge that they're two different, in a sense, nearly two different sports, you know, in many ways. But in 2016, you know, and to see, like, I suppose the buzz around football and the buzz around ladies football, particularly in Kildare, has just been phenomenal. And like, my club is fantastic. You know, it's a very practical approach. It always has been. It's the ladies have a championship match this week. The lads don't. The ladies take precedence. And, you know, there's always just been a practical approach. It's never been who's, you know, this whole gender battle. It's just been who's has the most important game that's coming up. And that's always been a real breath of fresh air for me. I know other girls and other clubs wouldn't have that necessarily, but I think Kildare has really grown, that it's just, like, as I always say, like, you know, GA is kind of like, you know, everyone belongs in a sense. And I think that that's the vibe that I really feel now, is that people are a lot more in tune. People know what's happening in the ladies game, you know, and you're, as I said, you're in your local shop and people actually know you have a game coming up, and like, it kind of makes it feel more meaningful. Whereas before, I would say in 2016, people probably didn't even nearly know, you know, who was two top teams in ladies football, let alone, you know, their own county, how they were getting on. So I think now that the profile has been so raised, and like that's not, I don't think there's one answer to that either. I think that that's an accumulation of things. I think the standard has risen at the game. I think people have watched it now and they realise, oh, it actually is exciting. It's good quality. There's a lot of games now televised. I definitely thought it was brilliant, you know, the way all the little games, the National League little games, were streamed, you know. So I think when it's nearly put in people's faces, that they really saw that it's a good product, and people have kind of learned to love and enjoy it for its own reasons. And that's why I never really compare, because there's those people who say to me, God, I don't like the men's game, I love the ladies game. So they're two different, you know. I never like to say what the men have and what the women have, you know. It's just, I think it's the way the game has grown, the atmosphere around it. I always just say to any young girls, it's such an exciting time to be part of the sport. I'm at the lateral end of my career and I'm kind of getting a little bit of, you know, the buzz from this. But it's only going to grow bigger, you know, and I think that that's fantastic for everyone involved. But it's such a flip of a switch, I would say, since 2016 to now, you know, definitely.
No, yeah, I really appreciate you sharing that perspective. And I think like the point you make there is like in terms of avoiding the comparisons and just appreciating both individually and authentically for what they are and letting them be on their own journey, I think is such an important point. And I think definitely that is helping you, like, crossover fans happen. It's even happened. I saw in America, there's a lot of hype around like the March Madness and the kind of women's basketball with Caitlin Clark and the men's basketball. And that's been on a kind of a similar journey with itself. And it's like, they don't have to be direct competitors. Like, you can watch one on a Tuesday and watch one on a Wednesday, or you can watch one on a Saturday and one on a Sunday, because they're sports, you know? So I think that's a really, really interesting point. And then I think, again, come back to like the perspective you have on this, which I love, is like, because you said earlier you've played for 14 years, right?
Yeah.
So then, like, feeling some of the stuff you're talking about there, like, is that, I suppose, is that part of what sustains you to still be turning up, still playing, still competing, both in, as an individual for sure, but also for Kildare and pushing forward? And then I suppose, what else is kind of sustaining you to keep pushing forward, Grace? Because I'm sure it's very easy, someone reaches 10 years and you kind of tip the cap and say, right, I'm out of here, I'm going to go and going to focus on work or life or whatever it is that you want to do. So kind of talk to me a little bit about what's sustaining like Grace Clifford as a footballer, as a leader, as a captain in the squad, to, I suppose, one, keep going, but two, I get the impression from talking to you, like, keep pushing forward, both for yourself and the group as well.
Yeah, it's a good question. I think anyone who has played kind of intercounty football and has that kind of, I suppose, loves that kind of, like, the kind of elite, you know, level of the game, understands, like, you've that kind of competitive nature, like, I love that, you know. That gets me going, literally, at training, you know, like, as a group, that's what our management do to try and make us tick, you know. They kind of nearly have us fighting early in games, saying, you know, and kind of winding us up. And I love that. I love that kind of competitive nature, trying to achieve your, you know, push yourself to your limits. I think that that's something, you know, like, I've always just loved to do. But I also just love like where I'm from. You know, it's so basic. Like, but I just love Eastern. I love Kildare, you know, and I love everything about it. And I love going up to my local club and having chats with people up there and, you know, people having a conversation about GAA. I just love what GAA can kind of, it's like the icebreaker, isn't it? You know, like you go to a wedding at the weekend and you're chatting to people and someone, you know, realise you might play and they like a tune. You might talk about how a team is going. I don't think there's one thing that keeps me going. It's kind of a few things that come together that kind of drives me to stay going, definitely. But definitely probably the biggest thing I have to say is like, it is your team. You know, if you don't, feel you're at one with the group around you, you know, I think that, you know, there. If I ever look back on any years where I would have been like, God, I haven't enjoyed my year, it was probably maybe when the team wasn't united or unified. Not necessarily things going well or bad, you know, as I said, till their loss for many years, you know, I never look back on a year and decide if it was a good year or bad year based on the silverware. Mm-hmm. You know, but I do think silverware represents an amazing thing you've done as a group, and that's what we've managed to do in the last 2 years, definitely. But I think when you're in the four walls of a dressing room, you know, getting ready for pre-season in November, if you're not aligned with the people around you and you don't, you know, they're kind of like a family, you know, and it's kind of like I can kind of slag off my own family, but someone outside that says something and I'll fight, you know, even if I agree, you can't say that about my family. That's, if you don't have that feeling about your team, I think that you're kind of really at nothing, you know, especially at intercounty level when you're given that relentless commitment. It's like you're meeting, what, 3-4 times a week collectively, but like you're eat, breathing, sleeping it, you know. Everything takes the back seat. I just don't think you can be an intercounty player without it being all consuming. And that's, you got to accept that, you know, and that in work you're thinking about, right, I've trained this evening. I'm a, you know, everything is always, how do I work around my life around, because football, this is the way it is, you know. And I think if you don't align yourself with the group that you're sitting with in the dressing room and you don't feel like you're all in this together and everyone's giving 100%, I think that's when, you know, you might go. And that's probably for me, you know, it's all about kind of the culture and the values. And if I feel like everybody's on the same page, it's easy. It makes it easier to be 100% in, you know, and keeps me going, definitely. I think if you have this the right atmosphere in your dressing room, that keeps you going because you just love to be around the girls, you know, and you miss them when you're not, you know.
Yeah, I really love that, like, that insight, Grikes, and like, I appreciate you sharing it, because like, even like, as I'm listening to talk to you there, like, of course, like, in high level sport, like, winning is important and trophies and championships, but like, even as you talk there, like, it kind of makes me think about like some of the softer stuff wrapped around sport in terms of, like you said, unity and like belonging, and then there's team vision and connection and shared purpose and shared vision and all those kind of, well, they are somewhat a little more in the air in terms of tangibles, like, but there's stuff that enhance your life and enhance you as a person and do give you that focus. And like, I always found, even with like my day-to-day work, like I work with teams as a mental performance coach a lot, and I always feel like when you win the thing, like, or when you win the trophy, it's like the icing on the cake, and you can't always control that, but like, you can kind of have more control over the cake that you're making, do you know what I mean? Like, and making sure that, okay, like, even if we don't get it this year, the cake's still good, like, we'll be back next year and we'll try to get the icing again, if that makes sense. Brutal metaphor, but that's usually what I use.
It makes sense.
And it's just because it's just important in terms of keeping people coming back, because I think often if people narrow their focus too much in terms of, okay, did I get picked to play or did I not, or did we win or did we not, like, they're very narrow lenses to judge success by, and they're very narrow lenses to judge, I suppose, like, value by. And what you're saying there, I think, is kind of seeing some of the bigger picture and using that to kind of drive you forward. Because I'm sure, while you focus on this and your life wraps around it a lot, I'm sure doing what you do for Kildare and for your club helps positively benefit other parts of your life as well, does it?
Absolutely. Like, and I think, you know, if everybody was saying, you know, I'm only going to stay going if I'm going to win in All-Ireland, you know, there's 32 counties, you know, only one person wins and that's it. Like, so it's, you wouldn't really have much of an intercounty scene and championship, you know, if that was the case. And if people, you know, we wouldn't have all those great battles and teams coming back trying to, you know, achieve these things if you didn't have other reasons that drive you, you know. But yeah, absolutely. Like, and I think as well, like, when football isn't going great and the vibe in the dressing room might be great, it can affect your life too. So it works in two ways, for sure. But I think that when you have everybody on the same page, and that's half the battle, you know, and it's a release, is, you know, and it's a huge, not saying a distraction, but like life can be busy and life can be hard going. And I've a lot of friends who don't have any interest in sport, and they don't have any, you know, real commitments outside of going to work. And I always just, you know, bar maybe meeting up for coffees with friends, I always just wonder, you know, and not question it, because everyone's entitled to do what they want, but I always think, what's your purpose, in a sense, you know? And maybe that's a question to ask people, you know, when I retire, what's my purpose when I'm retired? But I always think that when you play sport, you're focused on something, you're focused on, you know, achieving an idea or a goal with a group of people. And then I think it kind of teaches you that there's always to kind of, you know, maybe when you retire, you might get into coaching, and then that's the next thing, you know, or, and I think that's the positive of what sport does. It kind of keeps you focused, because you always just wonder when you hear like all these, you know, there's a lot more issues of mental health and all those things. I think we all might have experienced that when sport was taken from us in the pandemic, that maybe when you have something that kind of keeps you on track and gives you a kind of a purpose to get up in the morning and, right, I have to do this for this game on Sunday. You kind of, I think it has more benefits than just maybe winning the cup at the end of the year, you know, and the celebrations that go with it, even though they're great too.
You know, it's a big part of it. And I said, like, I appreciate you kind of sharing that. And I know, even just in terms of, like, about being involved in sport or keeping in sport, like, your day-to-day job is also involved with that. Mm. You said you're the director of extracurricular activities at a school, right?
Mm-hmm. Indeed, yeah. A girls' school. So it's...
An all-girls school.
Makes so it even more. Yeah, it makes it even more, interesting for sure. Like, I suppose when I was in recruitment for about 6.5 years, similar to sport in ways, because it's like sales in a sense. So it's go, go, go. And it's get up and, you know, take the failures on the chin and kind of keep going forward and trying to hit your sales and your targets each month. Which was great, because I was kind of, I liked that kind of competitive streak in it. So when this opportunity came my way, it kind of aligned with other areas that I would kind of feel I value a lot in life, you know, and that is, like, you know, participation and, as I said, kind of having a bit of a purpose. And like, I don't think it's like, I'm not saying that the answer to everyone's problems is just go find an activity there and hone in all your emotion and pain through that, then that's going to fix. I don't believe that either. But I think that having something that kind of gets you up and gets you out and gives you something to kind of distract the mind is a great thing. And like, I've a fabulous job in a secondary school where it's, you know, I'm working with a school that they value having a position like mine, you know, which is, and they, I suppose they value the importance of girls getting out of the classroom and the value that that can offer a person in their life, that obviously academics and leaving certain, there's such focus in that, you know, obviously we hear about the points every year and, you know, and in Ireland, unfortunately, I do think it's an unfortunate thing that there's such a focus on it, because, you know, sometimes people think that they can't achieve what they want to do because they mightn't be academically, you know, up there with others, and it's all just competition game in that sense. But what I found working this job is just, it's a breath of fresh air. You know, you're dealing with maybe people who aren't so academically focused, but they find a fabulous release from sport. And I mean, my job is to make them feel valued in that as well. And it's not just sport, it's any kind of an activity outside the classroom. We've a creative writing group that we started, and I wouldn't be creative at all myself now, but like, to see with them, you know, excel and kind of enjoy themselves, you know, is unbelievable. I get so much from that. Like, and even you might meet a kid in the corridor and they're real quiet. You think you know them. Then you go down and you see them doing the thing that they love, and they're like a total different person, you know. And that's what doing something you love does. It kind of unlocks a different personality in someone, and you kind of see a person's true colours. You might think, God, they're awful quiet, and then you see them on a basketball court and you're thinking, oh my God, that's a different person. And that's what I love about my job, and every day it's something different. And it's just, yeah, I find it really rewarding, you know. That's the biggest thing I'd have to say from it.
Yeah, like, reward was definitely the word that was on my brain there as we were talking. And like, I was going to ask you kind of like, what the most rewarding experience of it is. But now that, like, I'm thinking about it, like, you doing that kind of every day and being in there and seeing people, you know, either find their passion or pursue their passion, like, that must also in some ways like help you in terms of your own perspective and in terms of your own, if it's athletic identity, but then also being able to use your experiences to give back, to try and encourage people forward and nourish these kind of, I know we call them extracurricular activities in terms of the academic system, but ultimately these are, some of these are the things that people are going to stay with people for most of their life or all their life that they're going to do. So it must be very fulfilling and rewarding for you to kind of help be able to push some some girls and some people down that path to kind of finding those passions that hopefully stay and remain part of their lives, would it?
100%. You know, I look back on my school time and I was not academic, you know, like I wasn't really, you know, great at studying, you know, but I had a really good school experience because my school really took sport serious and I loved that, you know, so I felt valued in school. Whereas I think sometimes you hear people saying, oh, I hate school because they just don't like doing homework. But I think school is more than just sitting in the classroom, you know, and it's a life in itself. And there's ups and downs with it. And to be a part of people's journey is really special. You know, I think back on teachers that I had that impacted me, on, you know, in a really positive way. And I still remember them to this day. So I always remind myself that, like, I'm hopefully a part of that journey for some of the girls. And I see a lot of myself in a lot of them as well, you know, and there's some of them that are, you know, it goes from someone who just wants to just participate, just to be out and be active. And then it goes, we are really fortunate in our school as well to have a lot of high achieving athletes. You know, we've got a few girls on inter-county teams underage and some unbelievable. We've one girl who's an incredible golfer, you know, and she's going to America, and just be part of that journey and to learn about different sports and how it works and helping them learn how to balance academic and school life and being a bit of a sounding board, you know. As I said, like it's all go all the time, but it's really, I find, as much as sometimes it can be tough and it's like it's so busy and it's a really busy job and it's go 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 every day and there's always something new every day and it's always organizing something, I get so much from it. On the flip of it, it's all worth it in the end, you know, even though I'm falling into bed every evening, you know. But it's I've just learned so much in my, this is my second kind of school year there now, and it's flown and I've enjoyed every minute of it, you know.
And obviously, like, by nature, our conversation is sport orientated just because of your background, my background, the Players Voice podcast, like, I suppose, but just out of curiosity, like, in terms of those extracurricular activities, like, what else are, like, I suppose we hear a lot in, you know, media and stuff or online of, like, pressures young people are facing, difficulties, but, like, what are some of the things that, as, like, academic organizations or as groups that you're like activities that you're able to provide that young people want to engage with, like is there anything that like caught your eye that's something you didn't even know about before? Are they the kind of regular things but just kind of like making them available? Kind of what are some of those activities out of interest?
Yeah, like for a lot of it is, and it's not me putting down girls or anything in general, like this is irrelevant of what's on offer. A lot of it is confidence with girls, just having a bit of self-belief and saying I can do this or try this or worrying about what people think. So a lot of what I found is that the school itself had an awful lot of brilliant things on offer, but girls were kind of finding it was, I'm embarrassed if I'm not good at it, or, you know, I think like girls really, like I'm not saying the boys don't, but girls really care what other people think of them, you know. And what I found is that I've been around the school, I can kind of see, oh, maybe this person, you know, you can kind of push them to kind of do it. And sometimes then it's when they pushed themselves to go do it. And then they come back and they go, oh, I'm so happy that I did that. You know, thank you for pushing me in that sense. But like, definitely, like, I obviously, when I started in there from my sport and background, I think everybody thought that the school was just going to be focused on sport, you know, now, and that was it. But I genuinely went in there thinking I got a lot from sport in school. I saw a lot of my friends who didn't have sport. They weren't academic and they kind of had nothing. So it's just having stuff for them as well. Like, because there's something that, so a lot of what I did was in the beginning was kind of speaking to students and saying, like, what would you like, you know? And that was where the creative writing group came from. And they got up and running with that. And then another group were like, I'd love to do dance, but like, I don't want to do competitions. So like, we've danced every Monday, you know, and I don't know, they do. Every time I walk past, they're all laughing, having a great time. They're not entering anything competitively. And then there's some of the sports that facilitate in that sense. Like, hockey's fantastic sport because you can enter like multiple teams. So they have like an A team down to the D team and everybody then is facilitated, you know, so your high achieving sport people are getting what they want, you know, they're playing games at their level and everyone's getting games. And so like, it's just what I found is just finding stuff for everybody to try, get involved in, you know, and, you know, do we even do couch to 5K, like a little thing like that, you know, and sure. It's just, but it's the biggest thing with girls is, you know, it's just, I find it's a confidence thing with a lot of them. So what I found is it's going around and encouraging, like, go on, you know, and it's this embarrassment, you know, and I think maybe it's a teenager thing as well. But they're always kind of worried about what other people think. And once they kind of break that barrier, then they realize, God, that was great crack and no one's actually laughing at me. And then you see them release themselves, you know, and we do drama shows and everything as well. Like amazing stuff. Like I've been blown away by all of those things because, as I said, I'm so sport focused. But always the back of my mind was like my girl group in school weren't the sportiest of girls. You know, I was kind of the sporty one in the group, and then there was the artsy one and all of that. So it's kind of like trying to have a purpose for everyone outside the classroom in school. Because then when you do something that you love, you kind of meet other people as well, you know. So maybe someone who might not be, you know, have a huge group of friends around them, they might find a common interest with another person, you know, at creative writing. And even though they might be first year and a third year, it's a lovely opportunity to have someone that kind of understands you. You know, you might take it for granted when you're sporty, and it's, I was that person in PE that was told it's not the Olympics, Grace, you know. So I love sport and I always, you know, excelled in that area. But it's trying to kind of get that for everybody, you know what I mean? And that's the biggest thing. And just I find talking to the girls, they have great ideas and stuff like that. So it's great in that sense, you know.
Yeah, and I think one of the beauties of what you're doing there, Grace, is like, I'll be honest with you, I had never heard of someone in that role, like in a school. Obviously, the traditional PE teacher comes to mind or whatever, or, you know, they'd be like, okay, well, here's a hockey coach is coming in for 8 weeks. So anyone that wants to do hockey can do hockey. But like, I think one of the big differences for you here in the environment that you're in is you're being afforded the time to basically develop the trust and the connection to have those conversations and to build confidence and to encourage. And yes, I'm sure challenge at times as well, or saying, go on, get up the hall there and get into that room. Mm-hmm. But like, really just for you to be able to use your kind of life experience and your standing as a leader and as a person, I think it's really great to hear you being able to use those softer skills that you get from, a lot of it will come from sport, to then help other people on their own journey. You say, I know you bring up the creative writing there, and you know, if that's someone finding a community or a group, like, that's brilliant. But there's also people who are part of other groups or other communities that then have, make a new friend or a new connection with someone with a shared interest that kind of helps build them out and helps kind of nuance them in kind of a different way or see things in a different way. And I think for me, like talking to you, it's really nice to hear like that body of work happening at school level, because sometimes I think we're all too quick to just want them into traditional square boxes that's always been there, or and then bring in, you know, a mental health speaker for a once-off visit and stuff. But just trying to actually help build people and help people find their passions, connections, activities, I think that's really, really nice. And I think it sounds like it's something that for this chapter of your life you're loving doing and kind of grateful to be doing as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, and like as well, like it works really well. Like, you know, even some of the teachers might come up and say, such and such seems to be kind of having a tough time, or is there, you know, and I might have a chat with them and then realise, oh, they really like to do this and they don't do it in the school. And I can, you know, so it's I think it's been a really positive change in the school as well, you know, for teachers to have someone to go to and say, or have you noticed a change in such and such on the football field or out, you know, because like I said, that was the biggest thing. It was gas when I thought I knew a student in the corridor, and then you see them doing the thing that they love and you see a different person altogether. So it's good to just understand that school life just isn't in the classroom. A lot happens outside the classroom, and being able to kind of, I suppose, channel that in a really positive way. And that's what I feel, I'm on that journey in the school anyway at the moment, and hopefully it's going in the right way with the girls.
No, like, it all sounds brilliant, Dan. I've really enjoyed that part of the conversation. I'm sure people will listen to it in different ways, and whether people are listening have kids or if it's younger people listening, like there's a lot in there what you've said. And I suppose the other thing, like, I wanted to talk to you about, Grace, in terms of channeling that energy and trying to create change, like coming back around to like the football side of the house, in terms of, you know, you mentioned equality earlier, and I think we've talked about on the field in terms of the progress being made from Division 3 to Division 2, now to Division 1 and back up into the senior championship. But like over the last 12 months or so, you've also been caught up in different bits and bobs with County Board and Kildare GAA as a whole in terms of ladies football, where it's at, where it's going. I think the end of last year, there was a letter sent to the County Board between players and management. I know there was issues with executive and people resigning and stuff, but could you kind of just give us like a top overview in terms of kind of what led to that action happening, and kind of frustrations that, as say, as a playing group, you would have had that led to you stepping up and writing letters and trying to push for change? Because I think it's important to make clear from the jump here, no players ever want to do this stuff. Like, they just want to play the game, like, and to turn up the training and have the facilities and have the supports they need and have the whatever the equipment it is they need or the right personnel. So I kind of want to just, I do want to clear that from the jump. Yeah. Okay, maybe talk to us or take us a little bit inside of kind of your mindset mentality with stepping up and trying to push forward and create change there that ultimately I think you would hope and are planning on to make Kildare better in the medium to long term.
Yeah, like, look, it was a whirlwind of things, maybe things that have been kind of building over years. A lot of same issues that every other, I'm sure other counties have had, you know, trying to push just for better standards. You know, and I think our biggest message that might have got skewed at the time, and that's just being honest and able to kind of talk about it now because it's all, you know, dead in the water, is the narrative might have been that it was about us, but actually, like, it wasn't. It was about Kildare LGFA as a whole, the actual ladies football in the county pushing for things to be better. And I think sometimes when people try to push for change, it's a real Irish thing, isn't it, to go, ah, it's only enough for themselves, and to put them down and say, you know, and I do, and that's, that can be a narrative out there, and I think that was kind of the narrative, and like, I can understand how that it can look like that, but genuinely, we were just trying to look for better standards and quality around what was happening in Kildare at club level, because we're a club player first and foremost, we're representing our clubs, that's, you know, we always align ourselves with that, and just seeing and going back to the club and realising, you know, the game maybe isn't being promoted as well as it can, little things like that, like our championship was being run off on like over 3 weeks, you know, it was just a lot of little things. And to be honest, it was when we won the All-Ireland last year and we saw that there was a really good buzz around us, we just felt, look, this is the off season, you know, that was our thinking that we're behind, now it's now or never, we've you know, we're kind of on the up now, and we need to kind of, maybe I suppose our tack, like our thought behind it might have been like, look, as a group we are now on the up, and you know, people might listen, you know, we're after, you know, winning an intermediate and kind of pushing, and that people will understand maybe where we're coming from, that and doing it in the off season, it, like, cause it's like, you can't, like, it's impossible to be, you know, playing football is playing intercounty football is enough, it keeps you busy as it is, so we kind of felt like we didn't want to be doing anything like that in the middle of a season, you know. And to be honest, like, we didn't think things would pan out the way they did in the end, and it was unfortunate, like, no one ever wanted anybody to be like stepping away, like, everybody's volunteers at the end of the day, we as players are volunteers, anyone in an executive role is a volunteer, and it's, they're thankless jobs, we all know, like, yeah, everyone knows that when you're doing a volunteer position it generally is thankless, and that's just the way it goes. We did, it was unfortunate the way things ended in a way, but and we didn't want it to end like that, and it was never anything personal either, it was genuinely us just pushing for general standards of the game, clarity around kind of fundraising, and you know, and just kind of having a better understanding of where Kildare was at and what was the plan and going forward. A big thing was, we felt, and I think it's a general consensus in probably a lot of counties, you know, we have had huge success underage, and you know, what is the development plan, what's the future, like, are we, you know, are we looking at how many people are coming through the minor team into the senior team, like, we're probably asking a lot of questions that probably don't really actually directly, I think a lot of people thought a lot of it was about like ourselves, but genuinely it was just more about the future. Because obviously winning an All-Ireland Intermediate and getting back into senior football, getting back into Division 2 and now Division 1 was our goal. But you always want, like, you're not just trying to leave the jersey in a better place. You're trying to, like, you know, have a better future that, like, when, you know, maybe in 10 years time when people are looking back, it's like, it's not even just about when we got back up to senior. It's, well, like, there was changes made there. People looked for better standards and better understanding, a better kind of transparency around things, and that's pretty much what the motivation was. And as I said, it was never our intention at all for what happened to have happened, hand on heart, you know. We wanted open lines of communication, that was a big thing we were, you know, pushing from the players' perspective, and it's unfortunate that it ended in that way. But now there is a new executive in place, and I think what's been really healthy has been from the get-go with how it was, like, how can we have the relations as best as possible, you know. And and I think we all, by just communicating freely and regularly, it's always that, isn't it, like, a lot of the time it's just people don't talk, so mixed messages come across and people think the intentions and wires are crossed, and that's what kind of happened probably. Maybe we were misunderstood and we misunderstood the executive beforehand, so hopefully now we put in measures that there's a lot more communication and we're all a lot more aligned with what we're all trying to do. Because, like, at the end of the day, yeah, we're players now, and obviously we want what's best for playing. But like a lot of us, like, I firmly want to be a part of Kildare LGFA for the foreseeable. You know, to be honest, when I retire, I would like to think I get into coaching or be part of an executive, or you know. So it's about understanding that, you know, it's not just about the now, you know, it's about the future, and that that's where all of our intentions were. And I think we're on a good path now in that sense. And there's a lot better communication. And just sometimes for things like that to happen, bad things happen, like people stepping down, and we never want that. And but sometimes change is good, you know.
No, 100%. Of course it can be. And I think, like, it's like as a playing group and as players, I think it takes courage to do what you did. Like for years and in different groups all over the place, but like in any sport, there's always a group that wants better, wants change. But ultimately, like whether we like or not, it is easier to keep the head down and say, oh, well, it's actually not that bad, or oh, we'll deal with it next year. And like you've talked about standards, and you've talked about trying to make things better. And sometimes like those stances have to be taken, uncomfortable conversations have to be had. And unfortunately, like relationships can break down. And that's just the kind of nature of it. And it's always, I think it's also more difficult sometimes in, say, in a GA perspective, where there is like emotion involved, and there is passion involved, and there is volunteerism involved, and it's like it can be messy. And I think as you kind of navigate that, I think what jumps out to me is, first and foremost, it sounds like, and you feel like that as a playing group, but also as a county, you feel like change has happened for the better. And I'm sure that's an ongoing process, by the way. And I'm sure after this season, you sit down again and chat more. But the other thing I wanted to kind of link it to was, often when change needs to happen, it's very easy to shame like the one group like yourselves, if they're just in it for themselves or they want more. But like if the Cavan ladies team are doing the same up the road, or, you know, whatever it is, the Leitrim hurling team are doing the same up the road, or the Clare Camogie team, well, then it's like bigger, it's a bigger issue. But also, like, coming back to what you can control, which we would talk about often in sport, like you can only control what you can control in your space and in your bubble, ultimately. And I think you have done that and made some positive change. And I think I've taken the long way around this, but I suppose you've been involved with, I know, the WGPA into the GPA. Like, as teams start sharing their experiences, sharing what worked, sharing what didn't, both from a county board and from a team perspective, I'm hoping, and I don't know if what your thoughts on are in terms of those learnings, being able to join up to kind of accelerate and speed up some of this, what we call them speed bumps right now. Because like no player, no playing group wants this. That's where I started this all, but I don't believe any playing group ever wants this crap on their door, on their like notebook, on their laptop on a Wednesday night or Friday morning. And is that something you're hopeful for in terms of your, yeah, certainly your role with Kildare, Grace, but also then with the GPA, and I'm sure talking to players and other squads and trying to tidy up these big issues, but then also tidying them up on ground level as well?
Yeah, like I think with that though, when you play and you are representing your county, there is a responsibility though, you know, like if you look at history books, like there has to be someone who stands up and makes the change, you know. And I think it's not ideal when you're a player and you're trying to focus each week on being 100% on the football field to have to do that. But I think it comes with it, you know, and I think that that's, it's a responsibility that we have to accept as well, that, you know, if we're the ones out there, you know, on the field, and we're the ones that are feeling it on the ground, and that if we don't drive it when we feel we could, like that was kind of where we felt we were at now. And we did it at the time that we felt it wouldn't affect football as much. So we, you know, that's why we did it, you know, kind of in the off season. But like, as much as it's not ideal, I think you have to, because when you're the player, you might get heard a little bit better. So I, as much as like you don't like to see what happened to a Cavan or even Kildare Camogie, these things happen. And if they don't step up and say it, they don't change. And I think that's the responsibility. Like things don't happen if you don't, like you have to have a certain level around you as a player. Like as a playing group, we felt that like we are the flagship team in a sense. Mm-hmm. So it's on us for the voice, to be the voices of all the younger girls, and to be the voices of all the club people, and to be the voices of the future people who represent this jersey. So I think, as much as like, I don't think it's ideal that players have to do it, I think that that's the way history books have like written itself. You know, you look at the Cork hurlers, how many years ago the men had to do it, you know, like I think that that's, it kind of comes with the territory. It's just like not ideal, obviously, but I think for change to happen, it has to sometimes come from players. And I think it's easy to sit back and say, do you know what? Like you said there, you're bang on. And I think it's a real thing we all do. Ah, it's not that bad. But then it's when you're actually talking to other counties and you're at like those GPA events and you're hearing kind of other things, you're going, God, are we accepting this, you know, because it's not bad in our mind, but why aren't we not pushing for things to be the best that it can possibly be. If we're pushing ourselves to be the best in the football field, why can't we push for everything in our county to be at a top level as well? So I think that that's, I think as much as I don't think it's ideal for players to have to do it, I think that's what comes with being an athlete. You know, you see it across all sports. You know, you see it in, you know, in as I said, across all different sports. They're all making stances at different stages against different things that they feel is right. There, it might not necessarily always be equality, but it's about something. Because when you're a playing team, the microscope is on you. So I suppose in a sense, you are the best people to drive that change.
Like 100%. And I think like I totally like commend what yous have done so far. And in terms of like, I suppose, yes, for the Kildare squad and for the group, but also like just big picture, like pushing forward, pushing for change, making things better. Because I think the game is at a really important crossroads right now, and like growth is happening, but growth can also be accelerated and maximized if it's like if things are improved and handled. And I think having people like yourself, I know we've had conversations around this, these subjects with different players over the years. I know like talked to Cor Staunton about it on this podcast, Chloe Morey, just different people like that who all have, you know, everyone's experience is different, but then when common teams are popping up so often, then it's about learning from each other and helping make change happen. And I think one of the other really good things sometimes is when, say, Grace Clifford and Kildare gets to talk to who, like, say, a player in, I don't know, Meath football. Like, you can learn about kind of what some solutions were, but also you can learn about ways to work smarter as well and maximize what you have. And there's so much in that too. And is that something over the years that's kind of the GPA has kind of accelerated, and like the whole women's game has been absorbed through the GPA as well, Grace, in terms of that, those opportunities for more of those conversations, the shared learnings, meeting other leaders, meeting other people with different experiences, I'm sure everything from good, bad and ugly and everything in between. Is that something that helps sustain you to be like one of those leaders trying to push for change, navigate change, because you find yourself in those conversations and around those people who have either A, already successfully done it, or B, are being put out or not being handled correctly, so you kind of get it from both sides, if that makes sense?
Yeah, I think there's two ways. Like I've found it's been, to be honest, like I have found being involved with the GPA just hugely beneficial. Like from going to meetings and hearing other counties speak and realizing we actually have things better, you know, some, or getting ideas, like you said. And I think when you're, it's very different when you're playing against people and you're on a football pitch and you're in a sense kind of, you know, you're not aligning yourself with them at all. But when you're kind of able to have a conversation, it's not about where you're from. It's just about, you know, you want ladies football to develop and whatnot, like, or the game to grow. And you realise we're all on the same page and you just hear different, as you said, like ideas and different things like that have been really, really helpful. And you build different relationships and you learn different things from different counties and how things are done. And another area I think as well that's really, I found it's really been positive. Sometimes like you can think, like say for example, maybe the men's side was the big bad wolves in a sense, you know, maybe in Kildare we might have thought at one point, we definitely don't think that now, but let's say as example, but it actually also opened up doors of conversation between ourselves and the lads, you know, and the hurling and kind of the four codes talking. You know, and that was something that was really, you know, particularly in the last couple of years, I found has been a really positive change for us as set up, like, and we found, you know, we kind of worked a little bit more with them and they're linking in, you know, and there's kind of more conversations happening, which in all is like where the game is going to go. If we're all pushing for this, you know, integration, you know, if it's not happening behind the scenes, is it realistic to think that it will happen? So I think that that change in the move from the WGPA and that narrative then being involved with the GPA has been really just a real, I think it's kind of turned it on its head a little bit and made the whole experience of doing different programs and encouraging people to be involved in the different things that are on offer with the GPA a whole different experience, because now you're not just getting the side of the camogie, it's the full picture and you're learning from all different counties and all different backgrounds and everything. And like I did the Jim Madden leadership course last year, and it was just like, you know, like that, like you think you know things or you think you know but you don't, like an everyday school day, and you're learning from different setups and different mindsets and different leaders. And that was the biggest thing that I always say that I learned from that. You know, I think when I began being the captain a couple of years ago, I had this impression that like the ones on television, you know, they go in and they bang everything around the dressing room and that kind of thing. Maybe I tried to do that for maybe one training session or two. I realised that's absolutely not me. Like I was a complete and utter, like, you know, hiding behind something, you know. And I think the Jim Madden leadership program taught me was like, God, we're listening to every like time we have a course day, we're hearing from a different leader. And what's the biggest thing? They're all different, you know, but they're all extremely successful. They all have different approaches, but they're all equally as successful, you know. And that was a real kind of clicking moment for me, which was there's no right way to do something, you know. If the key is just be authentic, be yourself. And if you tap into that, that's the best way to get people behind you as a leader. And doing that course taught me that for sure. It definitely helped me to lean into that a little bit more. Because it's easier to buy into someone when you think they're genuine, you know, and even though that some might have a different way of doing it. So that's like, I think that's the way it's gone now. And I think it's just been really positive for us to see, you know, that's why the integration is a no-brainer in our heads, because we see the positivity from working together with each other. So hopefully everybody else can see that kind of positivity, and, you know, the people at the top table can push things along a bit quicker.
Yeah, I really love that point, because I think, again, even I did it, you know, it's about like, oh, a ladies football team talking to another ladies football team, or a hurling team talking to their hurling team, but kind of on the ground and county by county, like there's so much value to be had there from those relationships, and even just like supporting each other via conversation, shared experience. I think that's such a great thing to hear from like working practically on the ground, you know. And I suppose, like, as you wrap up, like, as you, like, you've shared your experiences, I suppose, on the field, off the field, in the GA setting, in terms of your day-to-day work and your role there and how you're using your experiences to help other people drive forward, like, in terms of where you're sitting today and like looking forward, like, are you excited in terms of what ladies Gaelic football has the potential to be and become for young people in Kildare, but also just young people in Ireland and further afield?
Yeah, I 100%. Like, I think it's a, like, as I say, I think it's a brilliant product. You know, I think it's an unbelievable game. And I think the most important thing is that as much as we talk about equality and we want similar, say, to the lads and whatnot, that it's clear that it's two different games, and that it's kept like that, and that we're not trying to compare, you know, and that if everyone keeps that to the core of what we're trying to do, we're trying to just promote it, and we're trying to get like to realize, right, the girls are, we are putting in hell of a lot of work, and we're putting in as much hours as anyone else, as any kind of nearly elite athletes, and that's really, I feel in my mind, where I'd see hopefully things going, you know, that there's that kind of recognition there. As I said, like I say it all the time to any of the younger girls, that it's such a good time to be, such an exciting sport to be involved in, because it's just growing so quickly, the promotion and the buzz behind it. And like the biggest thing that I've even seen in the last 2 years is like, it's not just like little girls coming to the matches that weren't, you know, it's little boys, it's, you know, and they're just seeing that you're playing for your county. And I think that that's really, really important. And even like, that's why we were talking about like jerseys and stuff this year. And like, we felt that it was really important, and we love that we're the same sponsor as the lads, not because we're the same sponsor as the lads, not to be, oh, we're the same as the Kildare men's team. It's that a child goes into the shop to buy a jersey and they go to watch a Kildare game on the Sunday. It doesn't matter whether it's camogie match, ladies football, hurling or football. That's what that jersey represents. It represents the county teams in Kildare, not a particular team. You know, and I think that's really important in a county like Kildare, where we're probably trying to promote hurling as much as we are ladies football and camogie, you know, to get it up there at the same level. So I think I do see the game growing in that kind of level, where it's, you know, people are being recognised for the level of commitment that they're given. And I think that that's amazing. And as I said, I'm just really grateful that I've kind of, on the lateral end of my career, got to experience a little bit of that growth of it, and the buzz around it, and the, you know, the way people are towards the game now, and that it's being treated a little bit more respect. And that's the biggest thing, isn't it? Like, that you want to have a little bit of respect when you're given huge time and you're given as much as anyone else is, and all for your county and representing it as best you can, representing the jersey. And I think it's only going to grow onto bigger and better things. I definitely believe that. And I think it's a really exciting time, you know, for ladies football. I really, really do believe that. And I think with the way it's growing and the promotion around the game, and the fact that, like, you know, you can watch, there's more games on television than ever before as well. I think all that level of the profile growing is just fantastic, and it's encouraging more people to get behind it and realise that they can enjoy it as equally as a men's game on the weekend as well.
Yeah, I think that's like that's such a perfect note to end on. And, you know, as you mentioned, like the different pods, or if it's Kildare hurling or ladies football or men's football or camogie, just ultimately, no matter which sport you're playing, feeling part of the one family. And that's obviously the GAA has to go on that journey now of integration. And obviously very grateful that people like yourself are on the ground and driving change and helping bring people together and help make things better. So, like, I just want to... I know you're busy, so I just want to thank you for your time today, Grace, and thank you for your insight and perspective, and just say thanks a million for joining us on The Player's Voice.
No problem. Thanks a million for having me, Alan.
My pleasure.